I'm Buns. I live in Antarctica, and I can tell you firsthand the ice is melting. The ocean is rising, and I can go outdoors in a t-shirt now and live to tell about it.
I'm Barb, and I live on Plastigono Beach, and I'm all in favor of global warming. If the world were a beach, it would be a better place to live.
It sure would be a beach.
Ain't that a beach?
Have you been around the news at all? Or have you?
I heard that there was trouble in Iran, that I'm a dinner jacket, and that other guy.
I'm a dinner jacket.
And the other guy that was running against him, which I don't know what he was, a top coat or something.
Well, yeah, they believe and probably pretty sure it was rigged, and no matter what anybody did, the guy was going to win, because that's how dictatorship, you know, works. And so it's nice to see that they're angry about it, and they're sick of dictatorship, just like we were.
I said, well, why didn't he just pull a George Bush and said, I'm the president, I won the election fair and square, no more discussion, case closed. And any protesters will be shot.
Or swept away quietly and nobody will know where you went to.
We'll take you to Gitmo.
Yeah.
And they said he tried to do that, but there was so much opposition that it's going, that's what Sherry was telling me. So I don't know what's happened beyond that.
And I wonder if they're going to stage a re-election type of thing. We didn't really. But we did have that 2 or 3 month vote count under the table or something in Florida. Well, I've been hearing lately, and I don't hear much lately since I'm not around the TV, but Bush is now stepping out and putting down Obama and bullshit like that. You know, it was Cheney for a while. Now Bush has come out putting down Obama for all the terrible spending and bailouts, which were bills he signed before he left. He put the stuff in motion before he left. I mean, most of it was there. There's a few things that came up that was voted on, but most of it was already in place. You know, maybe it just needed... Anyway, he started the ball rolling. That a big ball rolling downhill doesn't just stop, you know.
Well, he kept quiet for a while, and people are remembering him more nostalgically, just like they did Reagan. Reagan was no great president, but he was a likable guy.
Well, he's screwing it up then, because he's coming out with the blame and the Fox News type bullshit, so that it's reminding us, oh yeah, you were the asshole in the White House for 8 years doing this.
Yeah, you were the guy.
You were the, yeah. And you want to point a finger at Obama about, you know, stuff he's trying to untangle the incredible mess.
You know this from my writing, enhanced interrogation.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Those are very good words.
I've been
indicting you and try and get you to tell us.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Better and promise you, you know, a house in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's truly enhanced. That's like a fringe benefit or a French benefit. Yeah. I've had those techniques used on me, and it
works.
Well, it sure makes you want to get the hell out of there.
But I don't know. They make it sound like it's a good thing. Enhanced is a good word. Mm-hmm. Interrogation, you know.
It's more like serious questioning. That's not a really pleasant word, but it doesn't sound like violence and agony.
And techniques, you know, hey. Everybody has a technique of something.
Yeah. And
so there's nothing wrong with that word at all. That's another good word.
Mm-hmm.
We all have techniques. So that's all good stuff.
Well, you know, politics boils down to language anyway. And it's the way it's used and abused in order to get people to follow your line of thought, even though you're lying about it. When you call torture enhanced interrogation, that's an outright lie. But because you use pretty words, you can somehow get away with it, the act.
It's like war is not war. It's a cooperative advancement. What's another word into another land?
They never said Korean War. It was always called what? Conflict. Well, years ago, I remember seeing pamphlets around, you know, when Herman was in my life, and he was, you know, captain and this, that, and the other. And they had little cartoon books on effective ways to kill, but they wouldn't use words like kill. They wouldn't use, you know, we used no nasty words whatsoever. I wish I could remember the pretty language and or the way that they changed what it was really about.
To halt your opponent.
Well, it was even more spacey than that. Equal to enhanced interrogation type of language that that showed the cartoon-like pictures, so it wasn't real, of how to do these horrible things. And the language was such that it just, you didn't put it together as being real. At the same time, you were getting the message on how to do this act effectively. So that's been around forever, I guess, and politicians have been...
Well, even think of the word terrific. Okay, that means really good, right?
Supposed to.
Well, where does the root of the word terrify? So why isn't terrific a bad word?
Well, do you know for sure it's the root of the word terrify?
I would think terror, terrify, terrific.
Huh.
Terror? I don't know, but probably if I looked it up in the dictionary, which I don't have a... Unabridged.
Well, it's just makeup stuff. That's fun. Well, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. But bad means good anymore, so people are reinventing the language all the time.
And awful. That bothers me, too. Doesn't that mean full of all?
Right. That should be terrific.
Terrific should be awful, and awful should be terrific.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Well, awesome is still a good word, if it's
well,
awesome.
Isn't. You know, like I wrote with that flammable and inflammable.
Well, I find it interesting. I mean, to pause for a moment to think about it. You do that quite a lot, don't you?
I wonder about a lot. Because of all the words, to switch the rules on.
Mm-hmm.
And they mean the same thing, like coherent and incoherent. What's another word?
Well, wait a minute. Incoherent and coherent don't mean the same thing. They're not.
Yeah, but flammable and inflammable.
Right. That's right. How did that get started? And that's a word you should be really careful about.
Yeah, I mean, well, coherent, too, because you wouldn't want that to mean the same thing. Uh-huh. I think he's incoherent. Oh, good. But he's inflammable. I thought so.
Hmm.
I mean, an inflammable substance should not burst into flames. A flammable one should.
Yeah. So Bush is talking about against Obama just because they're trying to make the Republican Party look better in people's eyes because they want to take over when they can, right? So it's a steady campaign to chisel away any credibility or... anything good that this administration does. And if after Bush does his turn, and somebody else is going to come out Republican and do the same thing, and all along you got Limbaugh and Fox, you know, going at it. And the TV blares all the time on Fox in one of the residents' rooms, and it always irritates me if she wants to talk about something. So I just kind of, you know, not get into a real conversation because I could get angry, you know. I've told her I don't like politics, and this ask her if she ever watched MSNBC. Oh, that's a low-rated show. It's a low-rated show. Like, that's the reason she doesn't check it out? Because Fox says it's no good? I just said it gives you a different opinion.
Well, but, you know, indirectly, that bill, I mean, nobody's responsible for killing anyone except the murderer. But Bill O'Reilly was encouraging... that abortion doctor to be killed. And he deserved it because he was a murderer himself. And so somebody, you know, little wacko anyway, you're right. And so I mean, nobody's ultimately responsible except for the person that did it. It's like I tell you to kill Bob. I mean, I shouldn't be telling that and telling.
Well, if I do, it's not because you tell me to.
Yeah, it's your own fault. I mean, if you're smart enough to commit such
right.
a horrible act of
violence. And in court, I'll say, well, Barbara told me to.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was just joking around.
But, I mean, still, you know, if you're kind of leaning that way and you need just 1 ounce of encouragement and you get it, And then people that really do that kind of thing, I don't think they're incompetent anyway. So in a way, I think the guy should be kept by with it because he's incompetent. But at the other hand, he took a human life, and he's not, you know, sitting there talking to Jesus and the devil at the same time and Elvis. That's why I brought Elvis in there.
Well, it sounds like James. You're throwing your voice again.
Yeah, but I'm throwing it to another person that doesn't exist because I've fabricated everything.
Mm-hmm.
What if it turns out that's what human life is? None of it's real. It's just our mind.
Well, there is a theory that none of it's real. I mean, this is like we're a soul having a body experience, and the body experience is full of challenges. And we're being tested all the time, and we won't know what the deal is until we're out of the body. Like, why did we go through this? Yeah, we have to have a little pleasure in our lives, if not a lot of it, to keep us going, or else we'd all check out. You know, if it was just going from tornado to destruction, and to, you know, if it was all bad, we wouldn't hang in there. So we have some fun too, just like a carrot to get us through the life. Like, what comes next? I kind of buy into that now that I'm thinking about it, because it sounds good to me, like how it is. You think everything is going to be smooth now, and there is no such thing as getting caught up, and now you can coast.
Just organisms.
No, it's just
the chemical and environmental changes, and
if you
and
think
we think our life has significance, but we're just organisms. Like the bug that if you put your shoe down over here, it takes off in the other direction.
Well, you know, and if you saving and investing, and you say you're rich even, and
you got four houses.
And you got four houses. You're not home free and you can coast now. I mean, people work hard, they got all the savings, and then what has happened? What happened to probably millions of people is they pretty much lost it over the last few years in the economy. That was the hardworking people. The super rich became less rich, but they're still all right. But what about those people that lost their retirement, lost their homes, and they worked years and years trying to make life easier for the last few years, and they lost it. And now they're struggling too. There's always a struggle. You might make progress on in one area, and then these other areas blow up, and you got to put energy over there. There is no coasting. Even if you give it all up, you live on the streets, and you have to worry about, well, where's your milk coming from, where are you going to wash, or you get diseases because you're out there. There's just no free ride for anybody. And I've totally believed that in the past few years. And when
the words of Bruce Springsteen, the doors are wide open, but the white ride ain't
right. And when I see a certain person in my life talk about being jealous because so-and-so is not working or not working enough or because he's overworking, and I just say, well, I think everyone has it rough. It's just different. It's just different. You know, somebody can have a nice home or four. and all this stuff has happened, drama and things, upheaval and mental anguish. And there's just, you know, there's nobody to be jealous of. This ridiculous waste of energy. We just should work on our own challenges and contribute to the greater whole if we can, and lay off all the wasted energy on regret and jealousy and the other deadly sins, you know. New credit card scam things. You know, so I'm the one that pays them off every, whatever, the each bill.
Yeah, they're going up on hour.
Well, more than that. Here's the deal. So I went in to pay one that was due on the, like, the last day. If it's not in, it's going to be late. It was, like, going to be, this, say, the 25th. So I went in on the 18th to pay through, directly through online. They wouldn't let me sign in. And besides that,
And you can't hardly get it in the mail with the weekend to get.
Well, here's the deal. Then I went to my bank where it's also registered, and they would only allow, and when I, after I pushed pay now, after I've entered in the amount, it forces the date to be closer to the last day. It's forced. It would not let me choose the date where normally I could. So there's a very narrow window when you can pay. And so that forces more people to be late or, get this, too early, which causes another kind of problem. Now, Bob, he paid, and they claimed it was too early, and it was applied. Now, he owed some money on a card. Then they applied it to the last month, even though he was only a couple days early on this month. But since he's paying on a debt, this threw him into late fees for the current month. And now he's back, and they, all this compounding bullshit, I don't know how they do it. They can turn 1 cent into several hundred dollars over so many months if you're late.
Well, because let's say he paid short a penny, because he paid short
right.
a penny, he has finance charge.
Well, right.
$15 plus the late fee.
But he's got a certain amount, like $3,000, let's say, some kind of amount, and he made this month's payment, and because if it wasn't in that narrow window, then they're forcing it to apply to last month, which he already made a payment last month. And now he's in arrears, he's into extra finance charges. They're calling it late because of that narrow window. He didn't hit it. And it wasn't late. It was early, if anything. So now he's battling with that. It's a new trick. And I'm running in it too, but I'm so far, so good. But you know, the banks are in cahoots with it. They refuse to let you pay when you say you want to pay. They have that you cannot pay before the 20th when it's due the 25th or something. It's like, oh, what? So it's just more tricks, more ways to get money from it. So things have not gotten better; they've gotten much worse. And didn't we have a bailout of banks? So many billions of dollars.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Like, we tried to apply for renegotiation of our loans, bank loan or mortgage loans, to get the payments down at the lower interest that they're offering now, and it would keep people from foreclosure, and they looked at us, saw we were paying $6,000 in house payments. Obviously, that's a hardship. So, okay, we qualified. There was no question about it. Even though James earned a lot of money, we qualified for hardship. But they put us through 3 months of sending bills, Xeroxing things back and forth, faxing things back and forth, phone calls. Even while we were doing it, we got phone calls from the bank asking us if we would be interested, if it was making a hardship for us to pay our mortgage. And we weren't late, but we said, yeah, we're applying for that right now to help reduce our mortgages, to help us stay afloat. You know, we gave up after 3 months. We had gotten nowhere.
Oh, it's just a big runaround.
It is. That no one is getting saved from foreclosure. I mean, if we had been on our last dollar, we would be in foreclosure everywhere right now. Nobody helped us in the least. They all agreed that we qualified for automatic refinancing to get lower interest rates, which would in turn lower your payments and make everything more affordable, not you know, take away the debt or anything, just lower the payments. But they wouldn't work with us. They kept on coming back and asking us the same questions. Then new people would call us and ask us if we wanted to apply for it. We already did. look up this case number. Oh, I don't do that. You need this department. Then transfer me there and let me see how it's going. They transfer you there. We're working on it. You don't, nothing happens.
Oh, interesting. I'm glad you had that testimony. And when Bob was...
I even sent, get this, they have this thing you can write, email the White House directly right now.
Mm-hmm.
I did. No response, and it's been over 2 months complaining about that very thing.
Because, you know, usually they have polite, nothing type of responses. Thank you for your concern about so-and-so.
We'll look into it.
Yeah, they didn't even do that, huh?
It's part of Obama's open White House.
Uh-huh.
But nobody even responded to that.
So nobody's got the job of doing that, maybe. I don't know.
Even the tree guy that was here, he said they went down to Miami after the hurricane. And I mean, these aren't well-educated guys. They move where the disaster is and help out. And they said they got in on that FEMA racket. And I go, or that FEMA. And I said, that's a racket. He said, you're not a kidding, but I got in on it. And they were paying $3,500 to pull a single stump out of the ground.
Well, how did they get away with it?
FEMA pays it. FEMA agrees to it before you even do the work.
But
then you turn in that you removed 10 stumps today, that's $35,000.
And yet so many people, you know, were homeless.
Yeah.
They didn't go toward housing. Well, some of it went toward housing, like trailers and crap, but a lot of people just had to live in gyms or off of relatives or who knows. They were homeless.
And but these guys, I said, just out of curiosity, how much did you make, just you, during that? He said they were down there for 6 months. I go, $100,000, $150,000? He said, oh, honey, that won't even touch it.
Oh, they made over a million at it?
And these are guys that yanked stumps out of the ground.
Oh, so they got really rich off of it.
I'll bet.
Well, greed is what's got us into all this.
And he said they made a kill. And he said, you wouldn't believe. He said, in 1 month, he said, I paid every bill I owed, paid off my house, paid off my car, paid off everything he owed in 1 month with FEMA.
Hmm.
It's just a horrible racket. And I said, well, they bought all those trailers and parked them in a lot, never gave them to the people who needed them, and now they're turning around and selling them for $1 each.
Hmm.
$1. Cost too much to bring them back.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, people that need it really need it. And if you're homeless and nothing's going right, your job was washed away, there's no place to work, you need a home.
How do you clean up that much corruption? I mean, the government is corrupt and every part of it's what it looks like. It's like a mob runs the country.
Well, he said he went down to FEMA when the New Orleans thing happened, and they were handing out money right and left, but then nobody knew what was going on, and he said it smelled of such high corruption and investigation. He got out of there because he knew there was going to be a crackdown, and everybody under the sun was going to be investigated, but it never really happened.
No, because since everybody's guilty of something, they protect each other.
And it's just a racket. The whole way around is a racket. And FEMA, I think, was the worst. And it FEMA used to go in there and help people. They didn't subcontract out. They went in there, brought water, baby diapers, formula, bread, sandwiches, and... You know, maybe not the best food under the sun, but you got a sandwich and maybe a cup of milk and no menu choices. That's what you got.
Mm-hmm.
But it is nourishing and it will keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And well, Red Cross has been out here to see us.
Really?
They bring us ice water, and I told him, I said, we're having such problems with the insurance company. Can you do anything about that? He said, I wish I could.
Mm.
He said, have your adjuster been out? Nope, haven't heard from him. Haven't even got a phone call. And then he said, well, I've got some ice water and a sandwich. Would you care for a sandwich? And I said, I'll take the ice water because we don't have any running water. And he gave us water, and he gave the workers water, and they took a sandwich, too, because they didn't have anything to eat. And he said, we're going to go on down the road and see if anybody else needs anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he'd be back again tonight. But
when was the tornado?
It was on the 16th.
Were there other houses damaged around you?
Yeah, one house is close to as bad as ours, but their backyard looks better. And one house was, it went right through the middle of the roof, but it didn't break it in half like we were originally told.
Hmm.
And it's, some houses are awful. Some are just shells or the former self. I mean, rooms just exposed. Like.
Well, I want to be hearing as you go along with the insurance companies and how, you know, what your experience is as that happens, because I'm pretty sure, you know, it's going to be a fight to get anything like what you need to, what they say they'll cover and what they try to wiggle out of, and that's just the nature of living in the U.S. now, dealing with insurance companies.
Thanks for listening to the Buns and Barb Talk Show, the show of two Southern Belles with balls. Catch us on iTunes and be sure and visit our MySpace site at myspace.com/Buns and Barbs Talk Show.
And remember, two wrongs won't make a right, but three lefts will. Stay alert and stay opinionated. Cha 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 c